Well, good morning, everybody. Darren Saul, your host of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. I'm here with the lovely Prati Bhatt for episode 92. How are you, Prati?
I'm good, Darren. How are you?
Very well. And I love the way you have a nice cup of tea in front of you there, because we're going to be talking about, you guessed it, tea. So, Prati, a tea taster and founder of Teaphoria. That's how I pronounce it, yeah?
Teaphoria.
So, for everybody out there, I'll just let you know a little bit about who Prati is and what she's been up to. Prati is the founder of Teaphoria and a trained tea expert with over a combined experience of 40 years. Teaphoria stands for strength, relationships, trust, passion for tea, and a great tea tasting experience for their customers. Prati has spent the last 3 years in research and development of her finest blends of teas and created over 14 bestsellers to pick from, and recently launched her brand new edition. Prati thinks of tea as an emotion or almost a nostalgia when it comes to matching people's taste buds every day, as most of the favorite flavors in the world are created by memories in people's minds. So welcome, Prati.
Hello, Darren. Thank you for such a wonderful, lovely introduction.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, I'm so fascinated because, as I mentioned just before the show, I've always been more of a coffee drinker or red wine drinker or water drinker, but I haven't really delved into teas. But I'm so fascinated to get into this content, and I'm sure you're going to open my eyes to the wonderful world of tea. So tell us a bit more about, how did you get into this industry, this world? How did you start Teaphoria? I'd love to hear more about it.
Okay. I always describe the whole journey just in four phases, or just four words, so that it's really easy for people to understand, because in my mind it's a big world. Yeah. I would just say that the first would be emotions or nostalgia. Okay. Second would be like inspiration and passion. And lastly, a great experience. So the first one was emotions and nostalgia, which means that when I started off as a uni student, started with my career, and at age of 20, 21, I traveled from India to Australia, and just because I wanted a bit of change. But I thought, change will be great. It's going to be fantastic. In some ways, yes. But then I couldn't find my tea. I couldn't find my friends. Like, you know, yes, I have amazing friends here. I have family here. But, you know, when you're young and you're just missing your teenage time that you spend hours gossiping overnight, like over the phone, or like, you know, if you're talking about India, then on the local tea shops all night. Yeah. And there will be cups and cups of teas, and our local tea guy just knows our names, he knows our face. We will just drive there, and I'll just open my car window and wave at him, and he'll bring my regular. And that feeling, or you know, that life I was just missing out on. And more importantly, no tea that I would buy here would taste like that. None. Mm. And until then, it never occurred or never happened to me that how difficult it can be to nail a cup of tea. I was so angry. I was like, it's just a cup of tea.
Yeah, and exactly.
Well, that's it. That's until you don't know how difficult it is to create a cup of tea.
And just out of interest, so in India, do they drink more tea than coffee?
Yes. In fact, when I started my journey, it was very difficult to actually travel, get the quantities, the supplies, the harvest that I wanted, that I actually had to make exclusive contracts with farmers, because India drinks 85% of its own tea harvest. There's hardly anything to export.
Wow. So, a lot of tea. Yeah? They drink a lot of tea.
We drink a lot of tea. Yeah, and secondly, inspiration, which I was saying, that means that when during my search for good quality tea, I think the universe kind of gave up on it. It's like, sweetheart, there's nothing I can give you right now, but I can give you something better. I met my tea master, who had worked for 40 years in Indian tea estates, creating one of the best tea experience for world's largest, fourth largest tea company, Unilever's. And he retired in Perth, and he once saw me in an event talking so passionately about tea and complaining. And he sat next to me quietly. He could hardly see. He was in his 80s. And he said, like, if you're serious, you want to talk to me. If you're not, well, then nice meeting you. And I chased him after that forever because I don't know what he meant.
Wow, I love it. What a great story. And so that became like your Mr. Miyagi of tea.
He did. He did. And even though he could hardly see, he would come over. He was more dedicated than me. Like he created that. I had a spark, but a spark just can't run a car. He brought the petrol, the engine, like the drive, the everything that I needed. And his persistence and the way he would stand like 84 hours and hardly seeing, like he would hold my hand and he would still tell me, like, you know, blindfolded, he would tell me what estate it is, what season it is, what, like I was looking at it like that.
Wow, that's incredible. And so did he help you start your venture, or did you just use him as a consultant in a way?
He didn't help me start venture. He and I didn't want that either because he was getting older, and I wanted him to rest. So I formed my company T4A, and then I just told him that this is what I want to do with it. This is what I created, and was really, really happy.
Fascinating. And so from then on, you decided to specialize in developing your own tea products, your own tea ranges. And do you export that tea, or how do you deliver that tea?
So since then onwards, I created my own range of tea. But mainly since then, it was 2016 when this happened. But until then to now, mostly I was doing research and development because I wanted to, at least his last email to me, he's passed away now, but his last email to me was, you are the next me, and I wanted to do justice to it.
Wow,
so cool. And I just wanted to do more research, more development, and give people the best, the most extraordinary tea tasting experience. So I kept working behind the scenes, just creating that experience, and then just creating that umami, that one sip, and people should fall in love.
Gotcha.
They should not be addicted. I am not addicted to tea. I can live without it, but I don't want to.
So how many cups of tea do you drink a day?
Two.
Well, that's very good. That's very, very, organized and very adjusted. You know, you're not definitely not overdoing it.
No, you can, and tea wouldn't be harming you up until 4, 5, 6. Right. But it's just that when I do it, like when I'm tasting it, sometimes when I'm creating my one of my special blends, sometimes I have to go to couple of hundred cups.
Wow. Just to test to make sure you get it right.
Yes.
Wowee. And so, are you like, as well as being a developer of tea, are you like what we call, like, you know, have in wine the world, you have a sommelier where they pair tea with certain foods and, sorry, they pair wine with certain foods. Is it the same with tea, or is it?
Very similar. So I always tell on, even like, you know, my 40 seconds on BX, like I always say that tea is closer to wine than coffee. Imagine that you do like wine. If you like wine, you're highly likely that your palate is already cultivated to like tea. Ooh. It's just you haven't experienced it in that way. Okay. So tea is very similar to wine in terms of tasting. Like when I said I go through 200 cups, I don't really drink it. No. I spit it out once I swirl it across in my mouth.
Yeah, so it's almost like wine tasting. It's like tea tasting. It's exactly the same.
Yes, very, very much. And yes, we do have like a step-by-step process where we put like greens and the blacks, and then the sweeter versions of the tea or heavier teas. And I rate it, grade it, sort it. And then I try to pair it with other teas or blend it. Then I try to pair it with food. Until then, not. So it's a process very similar to wine as opposed to coffee.
Yes.
And that's why it's very hard to get an addicted to tea. It's more likely you'll be falling in love with it.
Like, amazing. So in the morning, you might have one certain blend of tea. After lunch, it might be a different tea. After dinner, it might be a different tea.
Yes.
Before bed, it might be a different tea.
Yes.
I love it. And all
that's
have
how
different
I've
benefits.
Created, that's how I've created my kits, the morning, evening,
Oh, I love it. And so tell us more about the benefits of tea and the health benefits of tea, because, you know, I know a little bit, but I don't know much.
That's very wide in terms of like benefits of tea. When I was thinking like, how do I put my message across to people in terms of what benefit are they going to get out of my tea? That was quite a big question, like a quite a strong question for me as well. So I would say that tea gets classified in terms of what are you drinking? Are you drinking your greens? Are you drinking your blacks? Are you drinking your herbals? Which is originally herbal tea is not really tea. Anything. Right. Yeah. So that's, we used to just call it in the tea gardens, we would just call it herbals. We would not use the word tea after that. Because it confuses our mind. It's not egoistic. It's just confusion.
Gotcha.
So, which means that there is one bush. There's this one tea bush called Camellia sinensis.
Okay.
And everything comes out of Camellia sinensis is greens and black. Everything else is herbal.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Yes. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And that's how it's bifurcated. So now let's talk about benefits of Camellia sinensis bush. Depends of how I am create what I'm doing with it. Like if I'm creating greens, then I'm creating versions of green like white tea, which I really specialize in.
Yep.
And that can give you, that's very high in antioxidants. That's just the bud of the bush. We don't use the entire bush. We just use the unopened bud. And it's picked one after the other. And like, that's why it becomes really expensive. And it's been hand rolled sometimes. So it's really high in antioxidants. It can prevent tooth decay for you. It can be very light on your body and your palate. So it would not bruise any of your taste buds. And if you are not into very high caffeine or something that want really refreshing, but you still can't take the, you still don't find green tea palatable, you'll fall in love with white tea.
Okay, so white tea. And what are some, what is an example of white tea that you can buy in, can you buy white tea everywhere, or is it something that is not that easily found?
It's not that easy to buy, but it's very few people would do it. I do white tea because I am used to watching that process and I have created that.
Okay.
But there are very few people who would do a good white tea.
Gotcha.
And that's how good white tea can be for you. It's also good for your heart. And then comes for greens, then greens can be really high in antioxidant, even more than white tea sometimes, because of the way they have been processed. They have been, they haven't been dried much.
Right.
It's still retaining the essential oils quite a bit. And it's still retaining the freshness. And now we are talking leaf, not the bud. So that's how it goes down in the, and then in the cycle. And if you're talking black teas, again, are really good for you. They give you that just balanced caffeine. It is oxidized, but to 100%. But even then, the oxidization have different varieties like golden tips oxidization or silver tips, where it can be cut. And that can give you different benefits to your body. It can really stop diabetes or help you prevent diabetes. It can prevent you like heartburn or stuff like that. So yeah, that's how the black tea, the oxidization will help you.
And does that mean like the black tea has got the most caffeine compared to the other two? Yes.
Yes.
It goes that way.
Because of the oxidization and tendon retention process, the tendon gets retained, the malt gets retained. We retain a lot of essential oils in it. And if it's dried too much and if it loses the essential oil, then we discard that black tea. We can't use it. So that essential oil is extremely good for your body in terms of retaining those natural.
And so if I drink like just out pulling something out of the air, if I drink English breakfast tea, that's probably green tea, is it?
No, English is black.
It's a black tea.
And English breakfast is one of the most complicated. It's the most versatile, simple product out there. Everybody drinks it.
Yep.
And it's the most complicated tea for tea taster. It's a devil for us to blend.
Is that right?
Takes us forever because it's English breakfast is not just a product. It's an emotion for most people.
I see.
I can create a product easy.
Yeah.
I can't recreate emotions. That's where people really, really get picky.
Wow.
They must have tasted that English breakfast in their childhood. Yeah. And now they want to recreate those memories just like I wanted to when I started. I can't mess up.
And it
becomes a challenge for me.
Yeah. So that's one of your signature products probably.
Yeah.
And then herbal tea, does that mean it's got no caffeine? Or what's actually in herbal tea then?
Herbal tea has no caffeine, definitely. Like, for example, how I emailed you about dandelion. Dandelion is one of my herbal tea. I create her dandelion chai, and that's for a very gut-friendly, very therapeutic tea. There is no caffeine in it for people who do not want to get rid of caffeine or coffee jitters, or they really want to help the gut system, so retain bacteria. herbal teas are really good lineage of like, you know, it can do a variety of things for you. I keep my herbals really simple because not everybody will be able to absorb every herb under the sun. Right. So instead of blending too many things, the simple you keep the herbal taste, the easier for your body to benefit from that particular herbal blend. Gotcha. For example, dandelion can be really good for your gut. Now mix it with one, maybe two, maybe three ingredients, and it can be doing wonderfully well for your body, for your, yeah, like, you know, retaining your flora and fauna, yeah, for your stomach, and regulating your bowel movements. Sounds disgusting, but that's true.
Okay, so that makes sense. So really, herbal tea is anything that doesn't come from that particular bush, that tea bush, and from that tea bush, you can have green tea, black tea, or white tea, depending on which part of the tree you use.
Yeah,
fascinating. Right. All right, I love it. And let's talk about the other benefits of tea, the non-health or, you know, physical benefits of tea. But, you know, you're very passionate about the emotional side of tea, and, you know, what tea means to, what the ritual means. So let's talk about what tea experience is all about. Maybe if you can elaborate on that for us.
I think I'll stick to all the funny experiences, because if I go into any emotional one, there hasn't been a single moment that I don't have tears. So.
Oh my God. Okay. Wow.
So I'll just go with the funny ones. Let's just say, for example, the emotional side of tea in India can be really hilarious. Like people decide millions of dollars of deals in business just based, this is true. I've seen it happening in my family. If you're in like a business deal and you walk into somebody's office and the first thing they will order is chai, like, you know, greet the delegates with some good chai. And
the chai is herbal tea now. Chai is not real tea.
No, chai is real tea for us.
Chai is real tea.
Real black tea.
Oh, black tea. Okay.
So the herbal tea of chai, a herbal version of chai, has been like it's a very westernized version, but for us, it's real tea.
Okay.
It's over caffeine hits. I'm drinking that right now, traditional one.
All right, so chai tea. Okay.
So that's our caffeine hit. So when we would sit and, like, you know, wait, and then the delegate will wait, and the first thing they will serve is chai. If the business people have been paying attention just on business and they forgot to serve a good quality chai first, they will just be like, yeah, whatever, just serve them chai. Okay. We first sip. We didn't like the chai. People don't sign the deal because they think, like, if they... this is crap. If they can't give us good chai, they can't give us good product.
That's fascinating. You can't even make a tea, then what good are you? We're not going to do business with you.
No deal.
So the tea can make or break your business.
It can. And even like, you know how, like there's always like in relationships as well. Like when you go to somebody's house, just call it your friends and all. And the first thing people talk about, like the first thing, you're very polite, you have to ask, like, would you like a cup of chai? It's the first thing you ask your guests, and if you are the first thing when we walk out of the door, most families in India are so hilarious. Like, I've been listening to it all my childhood. When they walk out of the door, they didn't even make good chai. What's wrong with them?
I love it. That's fantastic. So it's really it's very culturally important. You identify with tea. It's like the symbol of everything.
Yes, it's a symbol of everything.
It's
very important. Like the local street chai guy, he gets so much importance. Like, you know, even they give so much importance to their whole, like, if it wasn't for chai, I went back to India in 2012 after 4 years since I moved to pursue my master's and create my business and all that. So When I went back just for traveling, I'll tell you one tiny incident that really created that emotions in my mind. I went back to the same chai guy, same local guy. Now, for me, I forgot what he looked like. Okay, I was in a different headspace where I was talking to my friends. I haven't seen them in 4 years. I'm sitting there and talking to them, and he walks. We were just two of us, and he just walks and gives me my regular and gives him his regular. And then he tells me, like, welcome back. And I was like, huh? So, and I told him, like, how do you know what I like? And he's like, I know what you like, unless you have changed what you like.
He remembered.
And I was like, no, I haven't changed what you like. And he's like, and I told him, how do you remember me? He's like, well, you may forget, but my job is to remember you.
Wow. So he has to, it's even more than a barista. He remembers everybody's different blend of tea.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
And that gave me a spark. And I was like, he was serious. His job is to remember me. And
wow.
That's it.
Incredible. And so, obviously, I mean, it might be an obvious question, but obviously coming from India and growing up there, is that why you specialize in Indian tea? Or is it just the best tea?
As a tea taster, I would say, yes, there are other extraordinary teas on the planet.
Yep.
I really appreciate Chinese tea. I really appreciate matcha, Japanese tea. It's one of my favorite.
Yep.
I really sit down and sip on my matcha a lot. But like, you know, realistically, I think that there is so much to learn with just one country.
Yeah.
There is so much to like specialize in like one niche. And I don't need to just expand myself.
Makes sense.
First and then go deeper. Why can't I go deeper and then expand when I have a time for it? So I can just savor the other country teas in my home while I say expertise in what I've been taught now.
Yeah.
I've been taught Indian teas, and right. I better do justice to it now.
Yeah.
And then do anything else. That's all.
Fascinating. I love that. That is so cool. And makes perfect sense. And yes. You have a connection, a cultural connection with it. You have a historical connection, a family connection. So why not dive right in and really explore your roots in a way as well?
Absolutely. And I like to keep it to Australia as well. Like, yes, I've already started exporting. But the thing is, like, if I'm using Indian tea estates, I use Australian farms for herbs. I use a lot of everything. All the R&D is done here in Australian land.
Yep.
So I like to keep it niche, which I can at least connect to the audience.
Yeah.
The way I feel emotional about it, if they can't feel that emotions, then how will they taste the product? Half of the taste is in the emotions.
That's true. Yep, absolutely. As you mentioned, it's in the emotion, it's in the ambience, it's in the experience.
Yes.
I mean, so that brings us to a good point. When we talk about the tea ritual, you know, every culture has different rituals, but Japanese in particular are very ritual driven, and everything they do is beautifully executed. Explain or describe what a tea ritual might be like in India. Is there a special way, the way you serve the tea, what time you sit down for the tea? What do you have with the tea? Or is it just drink a cup of tea as you're doing what you do?
No. So India is very diverse. There are rituals around tea in some parts, mm-hmm. which would be quite particular. Like if you go to the estates, they would be really taking their tea really, really seriously. But if you go to more city sides, their ritual is more like the moment they wake up and they're like staring at the ceiling, they'll be like, tea. So that's their ritual.
Right.
In terms of what goes with the tea, I think that's something people are really, really fond of, their food pairing.
Yeah.
We are very particular about food pairing with tea. Can't have anything and everything with it. Japanese are very, very organized and very, like, you know, strong-headed people. They love to rotate their cup, having really, the spread's really nice.
Yeah.
While we connect it to food pairing, we would rather connect it with people that we share the cup with. And that's how we look at our ritual. So in terms of food sharing, we love to keep it with traditional cookies when it comes to chai.
Nice.
And these cookies are made out of almonds or pistachios.
Nice.
If you want to go savory, then the tea becomes slightly stronger. That they order the tea, which is slightly stronger. It does have ginger in it, so it can cut through the savoriness. And then it's been paired with some savory snacks like samosas.
Oh, okay. And it's almost like when you drink wine, if you're going to eat a steak, you've got to have a bold wine. And the same thing with tea. If you're going to have something more substantial, you need to have a stronger tea.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And if you are drinking it in the morning, people would rather prefer it with lighter snacks or something that is not savory or something that is perhaps like a cookie or there is a traditional thing like a rusk, or we call it the sweeter toast.
Yep.
We pair it with a sweet toast.
Oh, lovely.
Something like that. And then later on in the day, we would rather pair it with something savory.
Well, all this talk about cookies and tea, I'm getting hungry now. So, Prati, that's fascinating. I mean, we've only just scratched the surface, but I'm sure there's so much more to learn. And, you know, you've spent decades living and breathing tea. Does your family help you with this venture, or are you doing this all by yourself?
No, I'm doing it by myself. My mom helps me a lot. I think she's already a part of Tea4ia in terms of how she has supported me. Because I'm coming from a family where we grew up in a very liberal environment, but at the same time, there was no alcohol or addiction around us. So everything that touched bases addiction was prohibited in terms, that's all. Everything else was really liberal because they wanted to really protect us. So they thought like tea and coffees are very, very addictive. We were not allowed to taste tea or coffee until we turned 19.
Wow.
But when I decided that I want to do this and I met my tea master, my family became suddenly really supportive as they were always liberal. They were like, oh, you're on your own. Like, yep. We support you, but you're fine now. Like you do what you want to and if you really connect to it. And mom really helps me in terms of flavor suggestions and sometimes she will tell me ritual stories when I would sit and write because that really is valuable for me and then I can create content out of it.
Love it. That's amazing. And so tell us more about how you actually market and, you know, how can people find your teas? How do you deliver the teas? I'd love to know more about how that works.
So yes, in terms of marketing my product, I do a lot offline. So far, because I have been doing a lot of research and development, I've developed personal relations across Australia organically and did a lot of pop-up cafes where I sold a few thousand products just to test the market. Wow. And so for that, I've developed really close interpersonal relationships. Now we are going online. And this month onward, the website will be launched. But up until then, people can really find me on social media, on my Facebook page. There is, you can go to shop button. You can just get in touch with me. You can go on my LinkedIn. I get people buying just by connecting with me on my Messenger. And there is a way to shop on my Facebook shop as well.
Oh,
and this is how the kits arrive. This is like a
love it. Beautiful.
And this is how the kits arrive.
Ah, and inside is the tea.
And inside is the tea.
Is the tea. No cookies?
There's no cookies, but I should.
Maybe you should start your range of Tea4ia cookies as well.
Damn, Darren, you gave me a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. No charge. That's fantastic. Well, and obviously your website, Prati, is just tea4ia.com or .com.au?
It would be t4ia.com.au. It will go live in exactly 9 days from now.
Okay.
In about 1 hour, I'll tell you the behind-the-scenes secret. The background is now set up right now behind this as a photo shoot.
Oh.
In about an hour, we have a photo shoot here.
Yeah, that's amazing. So beautiful. That's awesome. What great news. So you're obviously, you know, taking this time and really utilizing it to go online as well and maximize your potential and your reach using online and e-commerce as well.
Yeah. And I didn't want to go just online just to sell just a random tea. I mean, yes, people would buy it, but I wanted to take my time and really know that what do really people want and how do I really want to connect with them? So now we're ready.
Wow. Prati, what a fantastic story, a fantastic journey. I really enjoyed learning more about tea, you know, because I knew very little about it. So now you've opened my eyes. So now I'm going to try some tea and I'm going to try I'm going to work out which one is it. Is it white? Is it green? Is it black? Is it herbal? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the show. And I always like to ask my guests before we leave, anything that you want to leave us with in particular about tea or about the emotional side of tea or the ritual or anything that, what does tea mean to you?
I think people would already know that how much tea means to me. But if I want to leave something to people, I would not mention anything about tea because that's my story. For them, it would be like, I hear a lot that people can't follow their passions, but you know, passion doesn't necessarily have to be a business. And sometimes it's a knock on the door. It's a knock on your heart and your mind. It's a never-ending movie. It's like falling in love. Yeah. And don't try to replace it with something. Find a, if you really, really answer to that calling, sit down in a meditation, create like a space around you where you take time to write down what you really, really feel. It may feel all difficult, insanely hard at this time, but everything slowly opens up when you listen to it. Because your passion is not just another thing. It's not just an emotion. It's a person in itself. It has its own emotion. It has its own character. It has its own body. Let it open the door. Let it come to you. And don't be overwhelmed with all the obstacles that you're seeing right now.
Yeah.
If you think that there were no obstacles in my life, if I start about my obstacle story, like,
wow, I can imagine.
I would have questions like, how did you even get there?
Yeah.
Like, there were things that were, I have no words for it, but it's just that they look scary. They're like monsters, but you had to keep walking.
Yep. And just one step at a time, and then you'll find your way. And, you know, obviously you've succeeded incredibly well.
Absolutely. So just don't stop. Don't stop anywhere. If you want to take a pause or a detour, that's fine.
Yep.
But let that person, passion, I don't call passion as an emotion. It's a person. Let it in.
Yep.
It's someone, it has picked you because it loves you for a reason. You're meant to do it.
Yeah. So I'll finish off by saying, find your tea, in inverted commas.
Yeah.
I love it. So Prati, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I look forward to exploring the wonderful world of tea myself after this show.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Darren.
Well done. So all the audience out there, thanks so much for supporting us. And we'll see you very, very soon for another episode of Playing with Perspective. See you, Prati.
See ya.